I'd never want to give anybody the idea that I was addicted to anything, but I sure do enjoy a cup of coffee in the morning. I like that just feeling of freshness, and I've come to enjoy the taste. I don't want any of this half-calf stuff. I don't want anything that's decaf. I want the real thing, right? And it gets me going, helps me feel refreshed, helps me feel like I can move through the day and tackle it. And I feel a little disappointed when I don't get that cup of coffee in the morning. At my house, Claire has started drinking a little bit of coffee. Yeah, she just walked in the door and says, why is he talking about me? She started drinking a little bit of a cup of the coffee, and I'd share a little bit of mine with her if she ever asked. But one time I couldn't share with her, or the one time I couldn't give Mathis a little teaspoonful of coffee if he was interested in it. One time I couldn't do that. By the way, nobody else in my house has any interest, really, in coffee. Not much of it, anyway. The one time I can't do that is when I walk over to the Keurig and I look down and I see that it's empty. The coffee cup is empty. There are no pods there, and there's no filtered water to put into the Keurig. I can't give what I don't have. And on the other hand, if I put my cup under the Keurig and I tell it to make a pitcher full of coffee, which there are some Keurigs that will do that, you know, and mine happens to be one. You know, you can put a carafe under there and you can fill that sucker up if you have the right kind of pod to put in. If I tell it to make me a carafe's worth of coffee, and I put my cup there, it's going to get more than it can handle, and it's going to overflow. And the point of getting a carafe's worth of coffee is not for you to have it by yourself, but for you to share it with somebody else. If you put your cup under there, and it fills it up all the way to the top, and it runs over, then the excess is going to be wasted. And the only bad coffee, in my opinion, is wasted coffee. Maybe you feel the same way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul has this to say. In verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction." It's great that Paul writes about comfort and writes about being comforted, because later on in Corinthians, he's going to talk about all the different ways he's been afflicted. He talks about being shipwrecked. He talks about beatings that he took. He talks about the anxiety and worry he has for the churches. He suffered a lot for Jesus. And not the least of the ways that he was suffering for Jesus is that there are some people in Corinth who didn't believe in him anymore, who thought that he was just a peddler of superstitious stuff, who thought that he claimed to be an apostle, and that was a great thing, but he was weak amongst them in his presence and not a very effective public speaker. He didn't have all the marks of worldly wisdom. He was discredited among them, and he felt terrible about that, belittled, like they didn't appreciate him. And he said that God is wonderful at comforting you when you go through affliction. And he found comfort in his relationship with the Messiah, Jesus. He found comfort in his relationship with God and God's promise to take care of him. But he also says that God comforts us in all of our affliction in verse 4, so that, not just so that you can be comforted, but so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. If you're trying to help somebody else through worry and anxiety and trouble, the thing that you need to recognize is that you can't get what you don't have. If you have moments in your life, maybe you have moment after moment after moment where you feel anxious where you feel worried about what's going to come, where you feel like things aren't going your way, where you feel like you're afflicted and you are not comforted, the place you have to go is to Jesus, to say, no matter what happens here, the circumstances may not be improved, but I'm going to live in God's will. I'm going to trust what Jesus is doing for me, and I'm going to give myself to it. And it's when you do that that you can have what Paul calls in Philippians, the peace that passes all understanding. You're comforted by Jesus. But to constantly go to the well, devotionally or any other way, to receive comfort and solace from Jesus, and to expend it all upon yourself, means that you're not making the most of what you have. Paul says, we are comforted from God, the God of all comforts, so that we can in turn comfort those who are afflictions with the same kind of comfort that we have been given. And so, when you have learned to go to Jesus, don't see your relationship with Him as something that affects only you and Him, and it's just me and God, me and Jesus all the way. God wants you to live in a community of believers, and He wants you to be able to share that same kind of comfort and encouragement with others, to direct others to Jesus as well, to be able to be there for them no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what they're going through in life, just like Jesus has been there for you. And don't let that source of life-giving goodness get away and be wasted and spent on you and you alone. Turn around and give it to those who need it. Perhaps today you're not looking at Jesus every time you need to be comforted. There's nothing there in other places other than constant anxiety and worry, because the things that you're looking to for comfort are going to be slipping through your fingers, and you're never going to be able to have them all. It's never going to line up exactly the way you want it to. But if Jesus is with you and you're looking to Him for comfort, you can surely have that peace that you can pass on to others. And that way you can have Jesus be a blessing not only to you, but you can be the channel through which Jesus blesses so many others around you. If you want to be a part of that tonight, we want to assist you. We want to baptize you. We want to walk with you. We want to pray with you. However we can, let us help you right now as we stand and sing to encourage you.